Presbyterian Fellowship, as here we're dealing in Roman numeral 6, page 4 of our notes, with the aspect of testing as it's applied to the believer. For the positive adjusted believer, the testing has results that transcend our life and time and truly has eternal benefits and consequences. And that is in the terms of SG3, by enduring, recognizing the importance of Bible doctrine in our life, maintaining our Christian advance, and applying divine good production, we accumulate for ourselves eternal reward in terms of SG3, with the ultimate reward being the wreath or the prize, as is so otherwise depicted. And it is the fact that we have our eyes fixed on our eternal niche. We live a life by faith, not by sight, even though one of these days it will be by sight, just as the song looks forward to. It obviously translates for us, converts for us into eternal wealth, prestige, honor, glory, all that's associated with it. And it is this vision, if you will, spiritual foresight that we are focused on that truly is a mainstay and a force behind enduring the glory road, as is often referred to, of the Christian life. So that's point J. This is the impetus behind the plus H, the force behind inner joy, to rejoice in our tribulations, in our various tests. Oh, what kind of paradox is that? Oh, it hurts so good. What is it? Well, this looks at the inner dynamics in regards to the spirit-filled believer in application of Bible doctrine, recognizing in our confident expectation and hope all that this will mean for us in regards to our eternal life niche. And hence we have inner happiness in spite of how we may overtly suffer otherwise. So the force behind the plus H, that's what plus H is, inner happiness, joy, the believer is to have in testing. Again, we saw that in James 1:2, and then also 1 Peter 1, 6 and 8. Greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. And though you have not seen him, verse 8, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It is the kind of joy that is promoted and produced through the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, the pursuit of righteousness, and all that that will produce for us in glory. God's righteousness is visually depicted as being his glory. So, to hang in there with it, don't lose sight, don't lose faith under soul fainting, things of this nature, other things that are associated in regards to the potential hazards of test. Keep your eyes on the eternal reward to get you through your tests in life. So K, with positive volition to Bible doctrine, the believer is able to see the value of our testing and keep things in perspective. It does not have the same kind of impact as generally, quote, bad things, end quote, that happen to the cosmos. With the positive just believer, we keep things in perspective, recognizing God's hand in it, and for our own good, in the continued manifestation of our own positive volition, showing the power of Bible doctrine in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of the flesh. Job 23:10. Job's words, he recognized that he was under a test that God set him up before Satan. In regards to this test, God utilizing us as positive believers in time, as an example of positive volition in the angelic conflict. Truly, we become His instruments for that use, to endure in spite of satanic attacks and other distractions around us otherwise. Verse 10, but He, God, knows the way I take. God knows our heart. He knows the path we're on, the pursuit of His Word in our life. And when He has tried me, 10b, I will come forth as gold. What a difference of attitude that you see with Job than you often see with believers otherwise in regards to facing their testing. He has confidence regards to the doctrine within his own soul. And the fact that, in spite of it all, he knows it is to his benefit, his eternal benefit, as all this will be converted to his own SG3 package in regards to his life. And it makes us as individuals even more valuable in regards to God's economy. Positive volition is of highest value in that respect. So Job sees the value of the test in his own life, very intense. Loss of health, loss of family, relationships, obviously had a fairly devastating effect on his financial resources. So he was put under all these major tests all together at one time. Usually most of us will just face testing in one area at a time, more or less. But sometimes it does combine the certain areas all at once, and he faced them. And he knew, based on his own positive volition, by hanging in there with it, indeed, he would come out smelling like a rose before God. At 1 Peter 4:13-16, the objective evaluation of our lives in regards to our testing. Verse 13, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, following on the verse of not being thrown off balance when the heavy duty ones do hit us. To the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, we're all as Christ was in his humanity, living in Satan's world. We expose ourselves to all of his attacks. See. And this does bring suffering in regards to our life. Keep on rejoicing. Keep up your spirits. See. Maintaining the plus H, the plus joy, in your objective analysis of the situation and application of doctrine, so that also at the revelation of this glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Have the inner peace that comes through the filling of God the Holy Spirit, the dynamics of God the Holy Spirit, coupled with Bible doctrine and application. All this, again, translates, you see the parallel, of great joy that we'll experience at the bema seat, rather than standing before our Lord and Savior with beet red faces in resurrection body, heads hung low, kid got his caught with his hand in the cookie jar. You will be able to hold your head high. Not in a simple way, obviously. You're going to be in a resurrection body. having that expectation, that confidence, that's one of the, to me, that's for my own personal self in regards to my own mental attitude. What a perk. We all want a meeting. What a way to do it. Let's see. To be able to stand before Him and know you did it right. And that you represented Him to the best of your ability according to your positive volition. And now He's going to turn right around and bestow upon you the glory and the honor that He Himself obviously possesses in resurrected glory in regards to your own resurrection body. So the exaltation becomes parallel. We'll be doing the high fives, see. While the rest of the resurrection bodies are moping around, if you will. If you are reviled, verse 14, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. People take issue with you. The name of Christ looks at His reputation and all that He represents. Guess what? He represents all of Bible doctrine. We are here pursuing the mind of Christ through the truth of doctrine. So for people to take issue with you in regards to your stand for Bible doctrine, you are, again, blessed. You're blessed in regards to your perseverance, and you're blessed just for the fact that you are targeting the angelic conflict in this vein. Can you see the picture? It sets us up as something very special in the angelic conflict. We've been blessed because we stand for something that most of the world completely rejects or otherwise distorts, waters down, and all the other aspects. For the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. There's interesting language there in regards to God the Holy Spirit resting upon us just as He did with Old Testament saints. That denotes the, if you will, camaraderie and fellowship that we have with God the Holy Spirit. Who is jealous and desires the truth and fellowship of God over and beyond all things. And we tap in to that vein of fellowship with Him. And verse 15 and 16, by no means let any of you suffer. Here, as we know, Peter, calling back, deals with suffering, both deserved and undeserved. And we have it in a mixture. Come on, we all deserve a lot of what we get because of our own spiritual stupidity, because of our own stupidity of our STA, etc. When you hang in there with doctrine, you're bound to stumble over undeserved suffering at least sometime in your life. Yeah. But the exhortation is to try to keep your sin nature overruled and pursue the doctrine otherwise so that you can redeem as much time as possible. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer. And here we have a list of SCA sins that are associated, obviously, with the cosmos, or a thief, one who takes murder, homicide, one who takes another person's life, not the doctor that saves a mother's life because they have to abort the fetus. Not the soldiers in time of war in defending another country. Those are not murderers. But one who unrighteously takes another person's life. a thief, one who robs. Don't pilfer from your employer. That attitude, I've seen that in the workplace. It's just like, oh, because it's a pen or you know, a box of staples or whatever, it's okay. They won't miss it. Look how much money they got. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. You can sometimes pilfer their time because you're being a screw-up running around doing things rather than working. See, that's another way you can pilfer, whether you think about it that way or not. Okay, so I was guilty a couple times. Golf every Friday. My boss told me to go do that, though. So I was given permission. Or evildoer. That is someone who basically just looks for, you know, bad things to do in general. Or troublesome meddler. The meddlers of life. Got to intrude. See, I got to invade your privacy. Got to have their hand in the pot, so to speak. Amazing that meddlers is listed in a list of otherwise pretty aggravated types of sins. See, a meddler. Obviously, you try not to meddle. Invade people's privacy, even though obviously you also try to make yourself open in regards to whenever someone may need help or whatever, but not to meddle. The busybodies of the world, like it's any of their business. You know. Verse 16. So that's examples of deserved suffering. And in 16, back to the example of undeserved suffering, if anyone suffers as a Christian is someone who represents the person of Christ. That's our faith. Let him not feel ashamed. People want to take pot shots at you because you're standing for the truth. Because your unwillingness to lead with your SCA when they lead with theirs, you know, well, you don't have to be ashamed about it, that's for sure. No matter how or else you may feel. But in that name, let him glorify God. And that means to maintain fellowship and to apply what's right. Obviously, sometimes in situations where conflict arises, the best course of action, generally the first course of action that any believer should take is try to defuse the situation. If you can defuse it, then you're trying to make peace with all men. See, we're under that commandment. And then otherwise, you just have to make your stand if the peace accord is rejected by the other party. L, the believer is to recognize that God provides sufficient grace to pass each test. First Corinthians 10:13. No temptation tests has overtaken you, but such is common to man, common human problems. And God is faithful. His faithfulness equates to His immutability in this respect. He's always done this, and He always will. And He's doing it now. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful. He will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. Failure to pass the test is not because the logistics, spiritually, otherwise, is not available. And you don't have the wherewithal in regards to passing that test. It's because of one's own failure within their own soul of not overruling their sin nature and applying the doctrine otherwise and making that choice in life. But with the testing, we'll provide a way of escape, the deliverances that may go on through a longer test. giving you avenues to get you over the hump or whatever, just to maintain, etc. Also, that you may be able to endure it. See, that language is, you're going through this test and you're still going through it. To endure it. And obviously, over the last four pages, we've seen a lot of ways that God provides encouragement and strengthening in regards to the believer to endure. If they will avail themselves of this kind of ammunition to defend themselves in regards to tests. Compare 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul, in regards to his test, where he actually had a demon jacking with him, called the thorn in the flesh. And a lot of doctrine attached to this whole thing. Paul had a real SCA arrogance problem. I say problem. It tended to manifest itself in a strong way. In order to keep him humble. And he had reason in regards to the spiritual world. I mean, heck, God took him to third heaven as a blessing at one time. Yeah. And other aspects of the success of his ministry just blows you away in and of itself. And in order to protect him from getting the big head, in that respect, God permitted a demon to inflict pain on him. And it wasn't just a stub-the-toe pain. It was a pain that obviously was pretty tough on Paul because he asked God three times to remove this infirmary from him. And here's Jesus' response. It was one of those instances that Christ actually gave him a direct response. And that's verse 9. He has said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness." Man, that has a lot of ammunition in it. My grace is sufficient. See, if you don't live on the principle of grace in your life, then you're enduring under your own power. And you're not letting God intercede on your behalf and manifest His person on your behalf in regards to your tests. It doesn't mean you don't apply the doctrine. But it does mean that you put your focus on God and you apply the doctrine expecting Him to come through on your behalf in your applications and whatever test you're facing in your life. See? And that way, God's omnipotence is expressed through our persons. You know, you see people and things happen to them in a good way, and we use the wording, "Look, man, God really graced them out." But that's God's power coming in through their weakness, the weakness of the flesh, in spite of our imperfections. God blesses us and delivers us still. And for the adjusted, mature believer, they faith rest and they put their trust in God in regards to these things. And they say, "Okay, I don't care what it seems like. It may seem like on the surface to other people around me. This is the doctrine. And I got my doctrine all in a row in its priorities. This is the way I'm going to go. And yeah, I'm probably going to meet some testing along the way. Who knows how and when. But I'm going to maintain those priorities." And don't think you're the first believer that's ever done it and had to go through it. Paul's doing it right here as he's writing this epistle to Corinthians. See? And God delivers. In spite of even this demon activity that occurred in his life and providing this pain on him, God still kept him on his feet and he still kept him functioning in his ministry. And here he becomes actually a witness to all of us in regards to what God does provide for the positively just believer in time in terms of deliverance, etc. But the grace factor, and it's not like you're lazy or cavalier in regards to the things that occur in your life, expecting God as a sugar daddy type of scenario. But you do look to God and recognize that you're being blessed by Him because you're putting your faith in His person and waiting upon Him in regards to provide these blessings rather than going off and pursuing under the energy of the flesh, see, or compromising doctrine otherwise in your life. Learn that in a funded church. They're constantly do, but it's acting without honor. His power is truly not being perfected in their weakness. See, when that's the situation. All right. One, first of all, in this vein, no one faces unique tests. It's not unique to you. People before us have faced the same kind of tests. They've just packaged maybe in a little different way. Everybody's lost loved ones. To death, to reversionism, many other things. You know. People have been under the four walls test. They've had to apply separation of their life. You know, on and on and on. At least you don't have to go outside wondering if the half-demon Nephilim are going to come crashing down through the woods to hunt your ass down. Whoops. What was that word? Your donkeys that you keep. Your herd. I mean, really. That's just what Noah went through. And those living in his time. The violence that was going on. You know, we have a few shootings and everybody freaks out over here. And I'm not diminutizing that. That's bad. But, come on. You know, it wasn't that far back in last century that there was a Holocaust going on. Genocide goes on all across this world all the time. All right, we won't get into our Second Amendment rights today. You know what they are? If you don't want to conceal it, you can carry it outright. I figured that out in Ohio. If I want to show up with my six guns on my hip, it's legal. I think I'm right. If I'm not, somebody will probably shoot me. But anyway, our tests are not unique. Obviously, they feel unique at the time, probably, many occasions. We all go through the same kinds of tests, generally speaking. Any given time, you can probably talk to someone, and it may not be to the same level of pressure and things that others are facing at that particular time, but they're facing it, you know, in its own form, own impact in regards to their life. Two, God does not test beyond our doctrinal ability, always providing the doctrine to pass the test, and always ultimately delivers. Ultimate deliverance may be in regards to, you know, some of the big tests, phase three deliverance, going through the cancer test or whatever, the physical misery and pain that may cause. There are worse things than physical death. Eternal death being at the top of the list. James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. All right, well, if you're going through tests, how's your prayer life? You got it on course? Are you maintaining that regiment? Are you so wrapped up in your tests, out pursuing under the energy of the flesh, you don't have time to pray? So you got to be able. You got to force yourself sometimes to take time off and talk to God, see, about these things. If any of you lacks wisdom, you're looking for God's will in regards to a matter. that obviously you have the doctrine, but the circumstance situations may be gray, and you don't know, you know, where the funds might come from, if it's financial or whatever. Now, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. And in regards to any information one may need in regards to doctrine, as it may be applicable to the situation, or bring about circumstances and situations that also provides an answer in regards to certain doors to go through or not, things of this nature. So there it is. And we have a high priest, that being Jesus Christ, that identifies with us in our test and intercedes on our behalf before God. Well, that's quite a support system in regards to our test. But do we avail ourselves of, you know, that aspect and approach God based on these terms and conditions, recognizing this, walking away from your prayer, knowing not only is our high priest operating on our behalf, but God the Holy Spirit is also operating on our behalf in these things, because you're in fellowship praying, as he translates even things that we cannot express verbally, cognitively, in regards to whatever pain and suffering sometimes we endure or whatever, emotionally. And the Holy Spirit translates that into the reality of what's being truly expressed. That's phenomenal. Hebrews 2, 17 through 18, then you got Jesus Christ on your behalf, interceding for you. Therefore, Christ had to be made like his brothers in all things in regards to his humanity. The essential aspect in regards to the hypostasis. God, Jesus Christ was one person. He was true deity and true humanity. And he had to be both in order to be our Savior. And for humanity, obviously, because he is operating on behalf of man, he's our intercessor. He intercedes before us. He saves us. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Merciful. He knows the pressure of the SCA, even though he didn't have one himself. He experienced it all around him throughout the throughout his ministry. From his own family. You know, it's one of those thoughts, you just kind of sit there and you almost shake your head and you think about his half-siblings, his half-brothers didn't believe in him as Messiah until after he was crucified. Your own family. See, of course, at least James and Jude got on positive volition after the fact. Which doesn't surprise me, because the family was basically believers. Mother, father, etc. In that respect. But, you know, he faced these things. And it gives him first-hand experience as the resurrected King of Kings in his glory in regards to our situation here on this planet. And what it means to exist in Satan's world. Under the influence of human viewpoint and STA. Faithful high priest, verse 17, in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, the satisfaction for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And obviously, his work on the cross provides a lot of the effect for us in that respect. So we can rebound, you know, we don't have to do attrition, penance, and things of this nature whenever we do sin. All we got to do is be intellectually honest before God and acknowledge it. Wow, that's pretty cool. I don't care what sin you engage in. If you want to get back in fellowship as a believer, all you got to do is rebound it. Yeah, you may serve the rest of your life in prison, and 15, 20 years down the line might even actually get executed. But before God, you rebound it, you're forgiven. See? That's the simple fact of it. That's the power of Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. So, He understands these things. He provided us a means of escape so we can have fellowship with God in spite of our tests and in spite of our spiritual infirmities, weaknesses. But we must avail ourselves in regards to these provisions, or, you know, it's like being in debt, and, you know, you got all the money you need to get out of debt sitting in a can buried in back in your backyard, but you just don't want to go get it. Well, tell me where it is. I'll go get it for you. If your debt's big, if it's not worth the effort. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He has true sympathy for us. What we're going through right now, He has sympathy for us. The pressures, real and perceived. He has sympathy in regards to the weight that we carry living in Satan's world. And He recognizes this, and He knows the pull and the influence of the sin nature, as I've stated. So our high priest has a full recognition in regards to these things, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He endured it, obviously apart from the sin nature, but He endured it, and He obviously overcame it through His own will, volition, in His humanity otherwise. The temptations. But still, just because one is successful in an endeavor does not mean that they don't recognize the hardships and the pressure, the real pressure that it took to get through there and get there. You got to recognize, he had to recognize the uniqueness of his humanity sooner or later to be able to overcome. You know, we saw how long Adam and Eve lasted. So, let us therefore, verse 16, since we have this type of high priest, representative on our behalf, sitting right now at the right hand of God the Father, talking about having His ear, let us therefore draw near with confidence under prayer to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And again, if your prayer life is not up to snuff, you basically rob yourself of the provisions given, availability of those things that we need in order to endure and pass these tests. How often we exhort in regards to establishing and maintaining a healthy prayer life, how important it truly is, not only in regards to just the demeanor that we have in regards to facing each day, but to the very spiritual existence of our life in and of itself. It's just... after getting on doctrine, after a while, it's hard to fathom even trying to get going in a day without some good prayer time before you get going. Even if it means you have to get up early. To me, now, obviously, we should pray without ceasing too. Everybody's niche is different. I understand these things. I'm just relating to you my own personal experience. Even on when I'm taking time off on vacation. That's why I like, I generally will only go with other positive volition, because they recognize, oh, Ken wants some private time because he wants to pray before we do anything today. You know that because you know that about them. That's what they like to do. So that God will bless your day. See? And if testing does come down, obviously you've already got the line open. You don't have to be ringing him up, if you will. So it's just a natural part of life. All right, we'll resume the test of the doctrine of test Tuesday evening. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.